I sympathize with Patrick. Some of these authors of these songs just don't appreciate men with manly voices. We just can't get up there. So, this year, we've been focusing on applying Matthew chapter 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We've been focusing on at least one application of that per month in a series called Kingdom Seekers. The last 2 months, May and June, we applied that to mothers and fathers. What does it look like when a mother seeks the kingdom first? What does it look like when a father seeks the kingdom first? And to wrap up that little unit, we're going to talk about children this morning. We're going to talk about kingdom-seeking children. What does it look like when a child seeks the will of his king in his life? What does that look like? How does he interact with his parents? There's a text that we're all familiar with that I'd like to start with this morning. That's over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and the first three verses of that chapter. This is the last chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesian saints. And in the first three chapters, he's made an incredible argument for everything that we've received in Jesus, all of the blessings that a Christian has in him, what it means to have responded to the gospel and to have been forgiven in Jesus. And after he's done all of that, in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he does a great job applying it. Now that we've been forgiven in Jesus, how do I live? What does my daily walk look like? And he applies that to children in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, which read like this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children in anger or to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, verse 4, we're going to kind of leave aside this morning, and we're going to focus on the first three verses of that text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he goes on to quote something from Exodus. He goes on to quote instruction that's given to children, to the Israelites there. This says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. I think it's helpful to make a distinction between what Paul says in verse 1 and verse 2. There's this ongoing question whether obedience is identical to honoring. Now, I'd say that there's a subtle difference there, but an important difference. Because obedience to parents is something that we render to them as long as we are under their roof. At some point, I become responsible for myself. You know, when we moved down here, 35 years old, my father did not tell me, Jeremy, buy this house, and if you don't buy this house, you're disobeying me. He didn't do that. If he had done that, I probably wouldn't have said, okay, Dad, that sounds great. That we understand that at some point, we go from being a child under the authority of our parents to being responsible adults. So this understanding of obedience in verse 1, children obeying your parents, that there's this transition, that at some point you become culpable, responsible for your actions. Now there's a slight difference with honoring in verse 2. One of the reasons that I obey when I'm in that role when I'm younger is it's one of the ways that I show honor to my parents. Honor changes the way it looks as I get older. Honor your father and mother. That's something that's perpetual. It continues happening. I continue to show honor no matter how old I get. Let's make some points about what biblical honor is so that all of us as children can understand what that looks like. How do we go about honoring our father and our mother? What we just mentioned was, honor is something that I'm expected to perpetually give my parents. There's no age limit to honoring. There is no age limit to honoring. It's something that I show them because of who they are in relationship to me. They will always be my parent. Even after they've passed on, they were my parent. It has to do with the role that we're in with them. Now, honor is something that I give, according to this text, unconditionally. If you go back to verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We usually understand that to mean, I obey my parents as long as what they say is consistent with God's word. If my parents were to tell me to do something sinful, is that in the Lord? No. We understand that's not something that I would do. But honoring your father and mother doesn't have that qualification. It doesn't have an if. It doesn't have an in the Lord. It's just a simple statement. Honor your father and mother. There are no qualifiers to that. Which is one of the reasons we say that honor is something we perpetually give. Honor is something that we give unconditionally. Now, I understand there's some difficulties to that. We're going to talk about that as we go this morning, because there are times, and those of us who are parents, we agree with this, there are times that parents don't behave in a way that deserves honor. There are times that we fall short in our parenting. And there were times when my parents fell short in their parenting. But regardless of how they fell short, there's still some sense in which I am to honor. We're going to go more into detail a little bit later and how we can do that in practical ways. But let's continue to talk about how do we honor. We do it perpetually. We do it unconditionally. We do it verbally. I honor my parents by the way I speak to them and the way I speak about them. Now, let's, just for a second, go ahead and mark your New Testaments there in Ephesians 6. But let's go back to where Paul is quoting here. Let's go back to Exodus chapters 20 and 21. So, in Exodus 20, we have Moses receiving the Ten Commandments from God. He receives all of those commands. In verse 12, we have the command that we're specifically looking at, honor your father and mother, in Exodus 20:12, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. He quotes that. But then we come down to chapter 21. And in chapter 21, he starts to address different ways that we can sin or not sin in application of the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 15. How do we honor? Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Well, why is that? Well, because that's not a very honoring way to treat your parents. Verse 16, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Don't make slaves of your siblings. That's a joke. Verse 17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. We have two aspects here. We'll get both of them up there. We can honor or dishonor our parents verbally and physically. More often than not today, we do it verbally. When you were a teenager, did you ever complain about your parents? My parents just aren't fair. I can't believe they treat me this way. I can't believe they told me to do this. I can't believe they won't let me do this. And you complain about your parents to your friends? Is that an honoring way to speak about your parents? Or the way you speak to your parents? I can't believe, rah, 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 you're so mean, you can't ever. Have you ever spoken to your parents that way? It's not a very honoring way to speak to your parents. And I'll just throw myself under the bus. I remember one time I was so upset with my parents for the rules that they had given me. I was like 14, 15 years old, and it was the one and only time that I told my mother I hated her. Because I think my dad just about took me across the room. Right? That was not an honoring way to speak to my mother. But you flip that around. I can honor my parents by how I speak about them and how I speak to them. When I'm talking to other people about my parents, I can honor them by complimenting them, speaking honestly about them. Not flattering, not lying, because there's sometimes our parents are flawed. But I speak about them in an honorable way. And when I speak to them, I'm not rolling my eyes. I have the right tone of voice. Let's talk about this physical thing for a second. The application that is made in Exodus chapter 21 is whoever strikes their parent. That's a physical, I'm showing disrespect, dishonor to my parent by doing that. But you flip that around. There is a way that I can interact physically with my parents that shows honor, that shows tenderness. Especially as they age. Turn over to Mark chapter 7. This was in our reading this last week. Hopefully most of us, our brains would jump there as we make these points. Do you remember in Mark chapter 7, where Jesus was trying to convict the Pharisees about their hypocrisy? He does that a lot in the Gospels. But there's one point that he says, you guys honor God with your lips, but your actions, your behavior, do not honor God. For example, in verse 9, he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and mother. So Jesus is quoting Exodus 20. And whoever reviles father or mother shall surely die. That's Exodus 21. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, you must no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. Now, that was kind of awkward reading through it. But what Jesus is trying to say is, one of the ways that you're supposed to be able to honor your parents is caring for them when they get older. That's actually an honor and a privilege to be able to care for your parents that way. But there were these men, these families that belonged to the Pharisees, that the money they would have spent to care for their parents, they actually donated or contributed to the temple. And they said, sorry, I can't afford to do that anymore. And so the application that Jesus makes is, you're showing a lack of honor. You are not physically taking care of your parent like you should. Same application over in 1 Timothy, where Timothy is explaining that families of widows have the responsibility and honor to care for their widow. That's one of the ways that we show honor, is by caring for them. Now, why? We've just skimmed the surface. How do we honor? We do it perpetually, unconditionally, verbally, physically. We demonstrate honor. But why? Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Why show honor? Well, there are a couple of reasons. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. Why do I show honor to my parents? Because God commands it. He commanded it in the Old Covenant. He commands it now that we're under the law of Jesus. We're commanded to honor our parents. But besides that, why do I do that? Did you notice something when we read Exodus chapter 20? Did you catch it as you skimmed down the page? You'll notice this. Flip back to Exodus 20. Because Paul makes an observation that is easy to see when you just visually scan the page. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. First commandment. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. And it goes into more detail about that. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's it. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It goes on to point out you have 6 days to do other stuff. This one's set aside. You look at verse 12. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land. What Paul emphasizes in Ephesians 6 is that out of all of those commandments, that commandment is the first one that shows up, and there's a blessing, a promise attached to it. Why do we honor? Because there's a blessing for those who fulfill the command. What's the blessing? That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. What's the biblical truth? What's the spiritual truth that Paul is trying to draw attention to? He's drawing attention to this truism. That when children grow up demonstrating an honor for their parents, they're demonstrating an honor for the first and primary authority that God has given them in life. And that when children grow up with an honor for the authority that's in their life, it tends to go better for them than if they didn't. You think about that. When children have a lack of respect, a dishonor for authority, what kind of things do they do? And what do they do when those authority figures give them instructions? You make your own application. What happens when there's a police officer in a position of authority that gives someone some instruction, and he has the authority to give that instruction? What happens if you don't listen to the police officer? He'll get a second officer, maybe a third officer, maybe a taser will come out. But, and I just heard this "don't tase me, bro" in the back of my head, but you have someone that has been brought up to show honor and respect for authority, and the officer gives an instruction, and that person has honor for authority, and they respond well. The second officer never shows up. The third officer never shows up. The taser stays holstered. And it goes better for the person that's been trained to show honor. Now, what that means is there's a curse implied. If there's a blessing for those who honor the authorities in their life, they honor their parents, that means that there are difficulties for those who do not. That's what it implies. Why would I show honor? Well, because God said to do it. That ought to be enough. But more than that, he says that there are good things for those who do, and there are difficulties for those who don't. So, as I think about it, as a child, it's going to be 36 in a couple of weeks. I'm still the child of my parents. They're still my parents. And according to verse 2, I still need to demonstrate honor toward them. How do I do that? What can I honor about my father? Well, we're going to talk about both the mother and the father, but let's start with the father. What can I honor about my father? Whether he does this well or not. So we're getting into this. Your father might have been absent. You might not have had a godly father. You might not have had a father that sought the kingdom first. That's irrelevant. Whether he filled it well or not, God put your father in a position of headship and authority. And I need to honor that, whether he does it well or not. Does that make sense? Just like I need to honor other authorities in my life, whether they do it well or not. If I'm in school and I've got a teacher, whether my teacher is the greatest teacher of the year or whether my teacher is just there to pick up a check and sees themselves as a glorified babysitter, I still need to show respect to that teacher because they are in a position of authority, whether they do it well or not. It's the same point that Paul is making over in Romans about governments. Whether the government does its job or not, I still need to have respect for that authority. I can honor that about my father. I can honor that about my father. Now, if he's a father that is a Christian, that is trying to seek first the kingdom, then I can honor the fact that he's trying to submit to his head, Christ. As imperfectly as he will do that in his life. And I'll tell you, I love that about my dad. You haven't had the honor of meeting my father yet. But my father did not become a Christian until I was one. And he did not grow up with much of a spiritual training or background. So I had a unique relationship with my dad because we would drive home from worship services and I'd say, "This is what I learned in Bible class." And dad would say, "Wow, I didn't know that." The story of baby Moses, my dad didn't know that. I actually got to share with my dad from Bible class. So there were things about God and his word and our history that we learned together. That was a special thing. Now that presented some difficulties because that meant when we got to be teenagers, you know, that's just where dad was spiritually. But it was an honor to watch my father grow in his relationship with God. That was something very tangible. We got to witness that. I can honor my father for his submission to Jesus. If your father was someone who sought first the kingdom, you can honor him for how he loved his wife. Husbands are instructed over in Ephesians chapter 5 and other places to love their wives as Christ loved the church. If your father loved your mother that way, you can honor him for that. As imperfectly as he did it, if he came back and kept trying to do better through the grace of Christ, you can honor him for that. More than that, you can honor him for his sacrificial love. That's the kind of love that a husband is called on to demonstrate toward his wife. And I love this statement by Elizabeth Elliot in describing what sacrificial love looks like. To aim at loving instead of at being loved requires sacrifice. Love reaches out, willing to be turned down or inconvenienced, expecting no personal reward, wanting only to give. Ponder this love. It's a far cry from the soupy, selfish sentiment the world calls love. Actually, it's got nothing to do with it. It's a high and holy summons to forget yourself. What a beautiful description of sacrificial love. And if you see your father trying to demonstrate that, you can honor him for that. Or, honoring your father for his discipline. It might be into your adulthood before you turn around and say, "Hey, Dad, thanks for that. Thanks for disciplining me. Thanks for correcting me. Thank you for not letting me just run roughshod over life." As fathers, we're called upon to discipline and instruct our children, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, is what Ephesians 6:4 says. As children, we don't appreciate what that actually requires on the part of our fathers. I mean, which one of us, when we heard, "This hurts me more than it does you," went, "Yeah, right." And then as an adult, you come to realize, wow, my father was sincere in that. My father was sincere in that. He didn't want me to live an undisciplined life. Have you ever met somebody that lived an undisciplined life? They just did whatever they wanted to do, whenever they felt like doing it. They had nothing controlling them or guiding them. If you had a father that tried to do that well, to discipline you and train you, you can honor him for that. Paul, over in 1 Timothy, talks about a man's responsibility to provide for his family. Look, I've known of someone whose father was a rascal. He was not someone who sought the kingdom first. He was not someone that was a Christian for the majority of his life. He was not the greatest husband to his wife. And this young man saw that. And he was wrestling with, how do I apply this? How do I honor my father when my father's been a rascal? And he struggled with it. Come Father's Day, every year he struggled with it. Until finally he said, "You know, I can honor my father and thank my father for this." He went to work every single day. Now, he didn't love my mother like he should have. He's since repented of that. But my father did his best to provide for us. Even when it got difficult, when he could have walked out, when other men do walk out, he didn't. He stayed. He made sure we had clothes on our back and shoes on our feet. And I can honor my father for providing. And it started with that. That's what he was able to start with. Eventually his father became a Christian and he was able to add to that list later in life. But if that's where you have to start, that's where you can start. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 5, Paul talks about how a man is supposed to care for his family, care for his household, and he equates that with management. If your father is doing the best that he can to manage his household in a loving way, as flawed as it may be, you can honor him for that and thank him for that. Now, what about mothers? What can we honor about mothers? Well, just like the father, we can honor her for her role in the authority that God has given her. As children, when you look at the household, you have the husband who is the head, you have the wife who is under him, and you have the kids that are under her. We used to have family boats. And think about this democratically. At the time, there were six of us. If everyone had an equal vote, guess how often we'd go out to eat? Guess how often there'd be ice cream? Guess how often we'd vote to stay up late. But do you know how that worked out? Each of us kids had a vote. Mom had 7. So she could veto anything that we voted on. Now, Dad had enough to veto everybody. And when we were old enough to finally figure out the math on that, we stopped voting. Like, what is the point? What is the point? But what happened with that process is we understood Mom has authority over us. She's in a certain role over us. And Dad backed her on that. I need to honor my mother for the role that God has given her and that she's trying to serve. Over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, Titus admonishes older women to instruct younger women to love their children. Tell you what, there were times when I did not act in the most loving way as a child. I didn't. Next time my mom is down here, ask her about the time that I got all of my siblings together and I led us in a strike. I tried to start a riot in her house and it did not go well. The strike lasted all of like 15 minutes. If your mother is trying to love you the way that God instructs women to love their children, you need to honor her for that, which goes right along with the self-control that she needs to show toward her children. We can honor her for her self-control, for her purity. Titus talks about that. Paul talks about that with Titus. Her keeping of the home and the way she does that. Her kindness. And again, her submission. And if you're still struggling with ways or things that you can honor about your mother, go over and take a look at Proverbs 31, because I would wager that most of us would say that their mothers are described in Proverbs 31, the worthy woman. And there are things there that we can honor her for verbally and thank her for. And we'll make a quick point about Proverbs 31. Some women would look at this list, especially the point about being the keeper of the home, and they may be in a situation where there are times where she's not always in the home. She may be in a situation where she's away from the home. She's working. She's helping to provide. She's working with her husband in that way. And there's a great point to be made in Proverbs 31. There are times where the worthy woman in Proverbs 31 was away from her home as she kept it. It was still within the scope of she was trying to provide for her household. But to do that, it required her at times to leave the house. And just think about the connection there. There's this great proverb, Proverbs 23, that says this: "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." What's the greatest way that you could honor your father and mother? You can honor them the greatest by submitting to Jesus. I think I've shared, and I'll continue to share for the rest of my life, the thing my mother wanted for every birthday and every Christmas and every anniversary was godly children, which drove us nuts. "Mom, what do you want for your birthday?" "Oh, I just want all of my children to be godly." "Well, I can't buy that at Macy's." "Oh, I just want you all to grow up and be faithful to God and marry godly spouses." "I'm 13. That's not even on my radar. Girls are gross right now. Is there something else I can get you?" But over a lifetime of hearing that, that is absolutely right. You might not have a parent that verbalizes that, but from God's perspective, the greatest way that you can honor your parents is by following Him and putting Him first. Do you know that? And it will bring joy to your heavenly Father. Whether your earthly parents ever rejoice in you receiving the grace and mercy that God provides through Jesus, whether they ever acknowledge that or encourage you in that, your heavenly Father is pleased with that. You honor your heavenly Father when you respond in faith to Jesus. And that's more important. And you are richly blessed if you have godly parents that encourage you in that endeavor. You can honor them for that. Do you realize that was the focus of Jesus? Think about a child honoring their parent. You have the Son of God who takes on flesh, comes down into the world, and how is he going to live? And what's going to guide him? And what's going to direct him? Let's just look at a couple of statements. John chapter 8. Our daily reading hasn't taken us here yet, but in John chapter 8, Jesus says this in verse 28 and 29. Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," he's alluding to his death on the cross, "when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." What was Jesus most concerned about? Honoring his heavenly Father. What he was most concerned about was honoring his heavenly Father. And if you understand that that was the driving goal in Jesus' life, to please his heavenly Father, even when it was difficult, even when it required crucifixion, or denying himself, or saying no to the temptations that were very real to him. When that was his driving purpose, how special do you think it was when at his baptism, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." If Jesus was living to please his Father, how encouraged do you think he was when his Father said, "I am happy with you. I'm happy with you, and you're doing great. Thank you for honoring me. Keep going." We need to be living to honor and please our Heavenly Father. And to some degree, that's going to trickle down to our earthly parents. And for those of us who are parents, when our children do honor us, when they respond in a way that's appropriate, when they honor us with their words, and when they honor us with their actions, we can reinforce and encourage that by letting them know, "I am so pleased with you. You are one of my loved children. Keep going. Keep going." We need to do that more. We need to follow the example of Jesus. Now, we've been trying to emphasize your relationship with your Heavenly Father is most important. If you have not yet become one of his beloved children, we've been talking about this in the adult class over in Galatians, you can be baptized into the family of God. You can be added to the family of God through your baptism. You can become one of his children. You can become one of his heirs. You can do that this morning. If you are not yet a part of his family, we want you to be, and you have an opportunity to do that this morning. If you are one of his children, be thinking about how you can honor your parents, no matter your age, no matter your parents' age. Show your children and grandchildren what honoring parents looks like. Model it for them. And encourage them when they do it well. It's the first commandment with a promise. Be looking for that promise. If you need to respond and let us know how we can serve you this morning, please let us know by coming to the front and sitting on the front rows as we stand and sing.